One of America's greatest assets is its ability to produce abundant, affordable, safe food. One of our greatest shortcomings is that we waste on the order of 40% of the food we produce. That's 34 million tons of food every year. Waste affects families, communities, industries, and of course, 49 million hungry Americans. Why do we waste so much? What are the consequences? What can be done about it? We'll dig into those whys and hows of food waste today on Town Hall Ohio.
This is Town Hall Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working to forge a partnership between farmers and consumers, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
Last summer, the Ohio State University's Food Waste Collaborative held a conference on the problem of food waste and ways to fix the challenge. Today, two of the folks who participated in that meeting are in with us to talk about the issue. Brian Rowe is an economist in Ohio State's College of Food, Agricultural, and Environmental Sciences, and among many duties, studies the issue of food waste. Mike Long is president of Resource 100, where he consults on a variety of waste mitigation options. He also formerly was the founding executive director of the Solid Waste Authority of Central Ohio. Mike, Brian, welcome to Town Hall, Ohio.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Brian, maybe we'll start with you. Food waste, I think intuitively we know what that means, but give us a broader picture when we reference the food waste problems we have in the United States.
Yeah, food waste happens at every stage from the farm to the consumer, from field loss to losses along the processing chain, losses in retailers and supermarkets and food service, and then at the consumer level as well, in our homes, while we're out eating, all of that.
And it's also not just a national problem, a global problem too, Mike?
Yes, absolutely. When you look at the number of people that are undernourished globally, there's some estimates that if we could save what we do throw away, we could feed a majority of those people. But we're not doing a very good job of it.
Something like I mentioned 40% of U.S. food wasted and a third of the global food supply wasted, 1.3 billion tons. How does this happen? How can we throw away this much food? What causes sure. this problem?
So I think there are different causes in different parts of the world. First thing to note is some food waste is quite logical. Going to zero waste will never happen for a good reason. We need a little bit of slack in the system. Sometimes we're going to buy a little bit too much. Sometimes things are going to go bad no matter how much we try. So zero waste is probably unrealistic. But if we look at developing countries, most of the waste there happens very early on in the processing chain because of poor transportation and distribution systems. So there's a fair amount that goes bad right in the field or very early stages of distribution, probably less so in the consumer's hands in these developing situations. In developed countries like the U.S., much more of it happens at the consumer level. In fact, when USDA crunches its numbers and looks at waste after the farm gate, about two-thirds of it is due to consumer-oriented waste, and only about one-third of it is earlier in the processing chain.
And by consumer waste, and we're going to talk a little bit more detail about this later, but we buy too much or we let it just sit in the refrigerator too long. Those are the kind of things we're talking about?
Yeah. It's interesting. We had at our conference in August, we had a researcher out from California, and she talked about different mentalities of individuals when they're dealing with food in their own home. Some people have a siege mentality. They want enough food in the refrigerator to be able to feed the entire neighborhood if they should happen to drop by on any particular night. But a lot of it is just we don't plan our meals nearly as much. Many of us have kids who come in and out, and we don't know if they're going to be there for dinner at night, and we want to make sure to have enough for those hungry teenagers that come flooding in the door. Others, we've got a lot more availability to eat out now, so maybe what we're looking at in the fridge doesn't look so attractive, or somebody wants us to go out for a night, so we leave some of that to sit in the freezer or the refrigerator, and we never get around to using it and end up wasting it.
There are a variety of consequences, and again, it's something we'll get into a little bit more, but Mike, you're well qualified to talk about consequences at a community-wide level. I mentioned earlier that you were the founding exec for the Solid Waste Authority of Central Ohio. For those listening outside of Central Ohio, what is SWECO?
Well, in the state of Ohio, there are 52 solid waste districts. This goes back to 1988. For those listeners who may remember the famous garbage barge that went up and down the east coast of the United States for 5 or 6 months looking for a home. Well, as a result of that incident, most states, including Ohio, instituted a whole suite of new laws to reduce and recycle more, improve landfill safety and environmental protection. And SWECO was born out of that. It is one of 52 solid waste districts in Ohio. It's literally its own political subdivision. It has rulemaking authority just like a city. They can pass laws and they can enforce anything dealing with solid waste. They can tell you where everything goes, where your recyclables go, where your waste goes, and how you need to handle it.
So I typically think of as one of the primary ways of handling solid waste is putting it underground, covering it up with clay, and turning it into a golf course, the landfill route. How much is food waste part of what someone managing waste on a regional level has to think about? Is that a big part of the problem?
It is. There are some estimates I've seen of 20% of what goes into a landfill is food waste, food scraps. One of the problems with measurement is a lot of that would include what is in the food waste basket. If you think about a restaurant, the packaging material at a fast food restaurant, for example, that gets categorized many times as part of the food waste stream. But it is biodegradable for the greatest part. A lot of paper stuff goes in there along with the food. And the problem in a landfill is it degrades. It turns into a gas, primarily methane gas and carbon dioxide, both greenhouse gases. And even though SWECO at their landfill and most landfills in the United States try to harness that and control that gas, there's still a significant amount that escapes into the atmosphere.
Mike Long has a company called Resource 100, formerly ran the Solid Waste Authority of Central Ohio. Brian Rowe is an economist at The Ohio State University. Let's walk through some of the consequences of wasting all of this food. The first one that comes to mind, we have done, unfortunately, had felt compelled to do, probably a dozen shows in the last 10 years on hunger. That food that we're throwing away could be helping people, Brian.
Yeah. By some accounts, it's about 12 to 1,300 calories per person per day in the U.S. That's about a Big Mac, large fries, and a medium Coke's worth of calories that's being thrown away per day. So that's a large dent in the hunger problem, given that most people need 2,000 to 2,500 calories per day. That could put a big dent in it, even if we reduce that to the national goal of reducing it by 50%.
I would gather that groups like Feeding America and the Ohio Association of Food Banks, they weigh into this issue too.
Well, go ahead, Rob.
Oh, definitely. They see that there's a lot of potential to turn this into an opportunity for their clients who are indeed in hunger. U.S. Food Rescue, formerly Community Plates, in fact, has a nice app right here in several communities in Ohio, where you can log on to their website and find donors who have food that can be recovered and used immediately, recipients who would like to use that food, and then you can log in and volunteer to take the food from point A to point B and make that connection right here in Ohio. I've done it myself. I know a lot of church groups and other groups do this as well, so it's a great way to start to make a dent in that issue.
Mike, I can picture people go, wait a minute, this is stuff we're throwing away. Why would we use it to feed hungry people? There's a lot of this food that ends up in the landfill or the incinerator that it's perfectly fine that it may have gone past its use-by date, or it may be produce that has a blemish on it. Do you see a need for people to grasp that just because we're throwing it away doesn't mean it necessarily should have been thrown away.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. Let's talk about the hierarchy for a minute, the EPA hierarchy. And I don't want to get too far ahead of the discussion, but we've been focusing on what's called the pyramid of how we manage food scraps. And so we want to first reduce it. Don't create it in the first place. And that's what Brian has been talking about. And then once you do that, what next can you do with it? Well, we can feed hungry people. And instead of throwing away just because the date is passed for the use-by or the sell-by, that doesn't mean that food isn't still edible. And so that's something I think we need to learn more about, how to understand what you can eat and what you cannot eat. Because once it passes that stage and it turns into, gets to the landfill, then we start having a whole new set of problems for our society.
If I could just chime in there. There's been a federal level legislation introduced to clarify what those dates do mean, because very few of the dates that you see on food packages actually deal with safety. Even though most people think those dates have to do with safety, they generally deal with a quality issue rather than a safety issue. And so consumption after those dates for the vast array of items is all about quality and not about safety. And so, for example, milk dates, label dates on milk vary widely from state to state. So in some states, it's mandated to be 12 days after pasteurization. Other states, it ranges up to 18 to even 20 days. So a fair amount of variation, not necessarily tied to safety because it's a pasteurized product. It's all about quality and your taste preferences and not about safety for things like pasteurized milk.
So I don't know if you're an expert in this area, but I want to follow up on this a little bit. What the heck does use by, best by, sell by? What do I need to know about being smart about what I'm reading?
Yeah, so they aren't well defined. That's part of the issue. So
no,
there's.
No, I don't feel so bad.
So last summer, the Food Date Labeling Act was introduced into both houses, bipartisan support, tabled for the time being, but I think there's energy to go back and get those passed to actually unify and educate people about and simplify the language. Best if used by is now USDA's preferred language on labels so that people understand it's about quality. Best if used by, not dangerous if used after date. And then there'll be a small category for expires on for products that truly may have safety issues that people have to pay closer attention to. Those are the suggested language to be used here forward.
So here's just again, maybe deeper than you know, but if it says best used by, does it then reach a point where at some point I shouldn't eat it? How do you tell when enough is enough?
Yeah, there are resources online that can tell you product by product. Typically, there's a few classes of goods. For example, baby food, baby formula, those have expires on language, which have some safety issues. Some prepackaged deli meats that might be subject to listeriosis or other types of pathogen growth will have issues with safety thereafter. Pasteurized products, usually it's not going to be an issue, but there are online resources that can help people verify those very specifically.
So you're telling me I have to take some personal responsibility here. I hate that. We're going to talk more about the problem of food waste and preventing it with Brian Rowe of Ohio State and Mike Long of Resource 100 when we continue. That song brings back memories, not because I knew the song, but I don't know how many times Mom and Dad, they're starving kids in China. And when I was a youngster, that was one of the rules in our house. You ate what was put in front of you and you cleaned your plate. Right. But maybe not such bad advice for us to follow today. Brian Rowe is an economist at Ohio State University. Mike Long owns a company, Resource 100. Our subject today is food waste and how to mitigate that. Mike, I've mentioned Resource 100 a couple of times. Just tell folks what it is.
Well, I'm a sustainability consultant that I formed after I left SWACO, and I don't have a large client base. I'm pretty selective about what I do, but I enjoy and passionate about it. And this idea of food waste recovery is one of them. So I help clients figure out strategies to reduce their waste, perhaps turn it into energy or fuel or byproducts, and keep it out of the landfill.
So we talked earlier about the consequences of wasting maybe on the order of 40% of the food that we produce here in the United States. Hungry people need those calories. We shouldn't be throwing the ones away that we don't have to throw away. There's another consequence on the economic side. I don't know if you have specific numbers, Mike, but give us a sense of what a community like a Columbus or a Circleville might be putting into handling food waste.
Well, let's take Columbus. And again, this is just back of the envelope calculation.
Sure.
If they throw away as a city, and the thing about Columbus is the city pays for the garbage disposal on behalf of its citizens. Unlike where I live, I get a garbage bill. So we can take Columbus and say 350,000 households, and let's say they throw away a ton a year, 350,000 tons, and take 20% of that, 70,000 tons, and take $50 a ton and multiply that, and you're looking at $3.5 or $4 million just on food scraps that goes into a landfill. Now, that number may be plus or minus to, 100 or 200,000,
sure.
But it's a big number that comes out of a city's budget to pay not just for the disposal, but then the city has to transport that to the landfill. So that might even be double the total cost. It's a very big number. And then there's a long-term, here's what we fail to recognize, the long-term impact on the community of having that degradable material in a landfill that's producing gas, which is escaping some into the atmosphere, and then we're filling up the landfill. What's going to happen when it is full? It will be full at some point if we keep doing what we're doing. Then we're going to be driving longer distances to the next landfill, more fuel, more pollution. Covering up farm ground, absolutely, hundreds of acres. So it really makes sense to take an economic look at not creating that stream to the landfill, because there's other things we can do with it. After we feed hungry people and deal with that issue, we can turn that into things like animal food. We can create energy, and we got to be looking at that.
So those are mm-hmm. some of the macro looks mm-hmm. at this issue. What about for my family, your
yeah.
family, Mike's family?
Yeah, Mike was talking about the cost once it leaves the family or the retailers. Back door and goes towards the landfill. And by the way, about 95% of all food scraps do end up in the landfill. Only about 5% is composted or diverted in some other way. So a long ways to go there. But for the value of food scraps thrown away by most households comes to about $500 per person per year. So if you're a family of four, we're looking at about $2,000 of food that's being wasted. So even if you cut down by about half, that's a cool $1,000 per family right there. And then if we work it all the way back through the system, we get down to the point, look at all that additional farmland being used to grow food that ends up going into the landfill, and landfills will expand and take up more farmland. So we've got a lot of pressure on land as well from this.
I would think if I was in the retail sector of food, whether it's being a grocery store or a restaurant, I'd be putting a pencil to this.
And they are. I mean, that's, and as an economist thinking about the overall system, I worry least about the processors and the retailers, because they are very profit motivated. They're in a very competitive market, and they think pretty carefully about lots of these things. Still room for improvement, and still some industry norms evolving there, but they're thinking hard about this.
So, Mike, you started to talk about this a little bit more. Follow up. Hungry people need the food. It costs our communities and us as individuals exorbitant amounts of money when we waste food. There are environmental aspects to this, too. Tell us more about what you started to touch on there, the environmental consequences of landfilling this much bioproduct.
Right. Well, whenever this organic material degrades, it goes primarily into two chemicals, methane and carbon dioxide, and both are greenhouse gases, methane being stronger than the CO2. But both things we are trying to keep out of the atmosphere. So the landfill is controlled for the most part to try to stop that, but it's not perfect. And there are other alternatives, however, that are better. Composting, for example. You can take that same food scrap and put it into a compost facility and recover it as a compost, which is very valuable. And also the gases that are emitted are much less than they would be in a landfill. So that's one major benefit to us.
And the second benefit?
Well, the economic value is great. You're taking something that has a negative value when it goes into the landfill. You're paying money to do it, and you're turning it into something very valuable, compost or mulch, as many of these companies are now doing the mulch route. It's faster than the compost. But if we can get a compost, now we've got a great soil additive. We can improve the fertility of the soils, retain moisture, reduce water consumption. There's so many benefits.
We'll be back to talk more about mitigating food waste when we continue.
Finish! I said finish! Finish the food on your plate! Finish! I said finish!
As Americans, we waste an awful lot of food. There are costs in terms of helping the hungry. There are environmental costs. There are economic costs. Helping us understand those problems and some ideas on how to fix them, Mike Long, who is retired as the exec of SWACO, the Solid Waste Authority of Central Ohio, now has a consulting firm, Resource 100. Brian Rowe is an economist at The Ohio State University. So we've just spent a half hour or so explaining how bad this is. Let's talk about how much of it we can fix. You said earlier, Brian, we'll never get to zero waste, but what's a reasonable target to shoot for?
Well, the goals that are put out by a lot of countries, and in fact by the UN, are to try to reduce food waste by 50% by 2030. And the U.S. adopted that as its official goal in the fall of 2015 as well. That's a very ambitious goal. I'm not sure that we can quite get there. But I think 20 to 30% might be a very reasonable goal and would have non-trivial implications for the marketplace and for hungry people and for resources.
So, Mike, you've got experience in actually doing this on the disposal end of things. How much of a big, hairy goal of 50% reduction do you think is doable?
Well, I think we can get further than that, quite frankly, because of improvements in technology that are coming along. So we need to talk about reducing or managing it. If we're trying to keep it out of a landfill, if that's our goal, and we follow that hierarchy of reduce, reuse, feed animals, feed hungry people, if we do that, we can get very far down the line and keeping it out of landfills. And technology is going to help us on that. But one of our biggest obstacles currently, after we've done everything at the front end to try to reduce it and reuse it, one of our biggest problems is logistics of how do you get it from the thrower to the processor, let's say a compost facility. The garbage truck stops at every house very efficiently, very low cost. But the food waste recovery truck drives across town to make its stops. It goes from one grocery to another and very few restaurants. So part of this is to figure out the logistics of how to get more route density, more collection points, more companies participating, whether it be a restaurant or a grocery store or a household or Ohio State University.
Speaking of Ohio State, you folks held a conference on this subject earlier this year. I wanted to attend. I didn't make it, but I tried to go back and look at some of the proceedings. And one of the things that I couldn't help but notice, there was discussion, Brian, about in terms of fixing this problem, one of the first things we have to do is just simply raise awareness. People, to be frank, I live and work in this farm space, and I about fell out of my chair when I was researching just how bad the waste problem is.
Yeah, we conducted a study nationally in 2015, and only about half of the people recognize food waste as a problem by name. So there's a fair amount of awareness that still needs to take place. Once we talked to those folks and talked about it, many of them agreed that they felt guilty about it, about 75 to 80%. admitted they felt guilty about it, but not all of them were connecting it to the environmental issues, and they were somewhat pessimistic about whether they could actually change the amount of food waste that they were generating. Only about half thought that they could actually reduce food waste in their own life.
Talk a little bit more about that connection between awareness and willingness to do something. Did you have to spell out some of these consequences that we've been talking about before they said, wow, I got to stop this?
Yeah, I think awareness is an important first step, particularly when people become aware of not only their the societal impacts, but the fact that it's about $500 per person per year that is being thrown out of their own household. You know, they could give themselves a nice little benefit if they could figure out a way to reduce that in their own homes.
So we are talking about food waste and ways to resolve the issue. That was Brian Rowe from Ohio State. Mike Long is with us from Resource 100. We've heard you mention, Mike, a couple of times, this hierarchy. And it's, in my words, it's sort of a government plan. I know EPA's got its fingers in it. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has its fingers in it. But it's a way that sort of looks at from most to least preferred ways to deal with the system. We've mentioned source reduction a couple of times. Is that simply just not buying any more food than I need?
That would be one of the strategies, is to plan your meals, and so you plan not to have waste, for example. Things that you can do at your home or your business to cut down on it at the source is a terrific strategy. It doesn't create any environmental problems. It doesn't create any economic issues.
Well, we spent a lot of time earlier talking about feeding hungry people. That would be the second preferred method besides reducing the source. Brian, talk a little bit about the third level of this, feeding animals. Folks may not, we threw the dog scraps, and today you've got to have this high-powered, specially designed diet to make the puppy happy no matter what. But using human food in animal feed, not necessarily pet food, but even livestock feed.
No, it's been happening for a long time. I remember I grew up in a dairy farm in Wisconsin, and we talked about out in California. But here in Ohio, in fact, there are hog farmers and others who are using food from major sources for their own livestock.
We're going to follow up on that as we continue talking about mitigating food waste right after this.
Putrid mounds of forgotten food in every shade of green. Something blue that smells like beer. Meatloaf from another year. Things that no one else has seen. But it's just part of my routine. Cause I'm a garbage man.
Welcome back to Town Hall, Ohio. We're talking about the food we waste as Americans and why we shouldn't and what we can do about it. Helping us tell the story, Mike Long, who owns a company called Resource 100. They are into bio waste handling consulting. Brian Rowe is with Ohio State University. I had to cut you off because it was time for the break there, Brian. But feeding excess human food to animals is not new.
No, but I think it's picking up to some extent. I think there are good sources. And again, this is where it has to be, the logistics issue is key here. So sourcing from large manufacturers or retailers, very consistent product that can be then used. There's some examples of Ohio hog farmers, for example, who are taking products in bulk to their facilities, depackaging them, and then mixing them into the feed rations.
And things like Ohio State, something that Ohio State would be studying then is how to make that work. I mean, it's one thing to give a certain animal a certain kind of human food, but the animal has to be able to gain weight properly and perform for the farmer.
Brian mentioned depackaging. There's a technological innovation that's coming within the last 5 years, and it's going to come on even stronger. The ability to take apart a cereal box and recycle the cardboard and take the food out of it and feed that to an animal, for example, is something that's now available.
Does it cut the baseball card off the back for me? Like, I'm showing my age there.
Hasn't got there yet. They can take a jelly jar and take out the jelly and the glass and recycle both. So those are innovations. And by the way, Ohio companies are manufacturing that kind of equipment. So there's job creation in that innovation, in that business of depackaging. And that's been a big obstacle in the past to food, a lot of food waste recycling. That box would go directly to the landfill in the past. Now it can be redirected back into the recycling business and to feeding animals.
And we should mention in this hierarchy from the federal government of most favorable and least favorable ways to mitigate food risk, there are things besides landfilling it, incinerating it, composting it. And as we were talking about how we could feed this to animals, there are also industrial uses for some of these products. I want to get on to some policy issues, Brian, if we could. And one of those has to do with liability protection. People who might want to give food to the needy or donate it to a food bank, right now, they bump up against laws that could get them in trouble if something goes wrong.
Although in 1996, the Good Samaritan Act was passed in Congress, which extended liability protection to anybody who was providing food in good faith to an agency or other group that was trying to feed those in need. Marcia Fudge here in Ohio has just introduced legislation that would expand that even further, so that that liability protection would be given if people were trying to donate that to an individual in need as well.
How about tax policies, Mike? Could we make some tweaks, do you think, to how we incentivize behaviors that might help us in this whole process?
Well, I am not an expert at all in that regard, other than I pay a lot. But besides that, I'm aware that some of these food, like the animal feed, when they accept that material to manufacture the feed, there are tax benefits of doing that. And I don't know about the tweaks other than just educating people on what the tax implications are of doing that. But I'm sure Brian can talk more about this specific tax issue.
I know a little bit about that, but I think there would be range to even sweeten those deals more so, to bring it to the forefront and to get industry and individuals to think more critically about how they can take advantage of those benefits and just get that into their mental space.
Any more in this area? We talked about liability protection. Earlier talked about changing the dates. What about in the food safety law area? Are there things there that might be helpful?
I think there's always a tension there, trying to understand. When in doubt, throw it out was always the phrase that we had heard before. But a lot of that was prefaced on that date on the label. So I think in terms of food safety law, I think that's still an evolving area to understand how food waste reduction efforts and food safety interact. So I think there's good scope for research there.
Mike told us a little earlier about his company. Just real quick, a little bit about Ohio State's role in this whole. I mentioned Ohio, they have a food waste collaborative.
Yeah. Yeah, Ohio State's been very innovative. We've got a new model down there, the Discovery Themes. One of those focuses on transforming the food system. They were kind enough to give us some seed funding at OSU to develop this food waste collaborative, where we've brought together people like Mike Long from industry, Ohio State researchers, people from federal agencies, to try to get that conversation going about food waste in Ohio and in the region.
We will be back to wrap up our conversation with Brian Rowe from The Ohio State University and Mike Long from Resource 100. More on mitigating food waste when we come back.
What a shame. It's such a waste. It will never be the same. And what a shame. It's such a
We've got on the order of 49 million hungry Americans, and yet we throw away approximately 40% of the food we grow in America. It's not right, and we're trying to figure out how to fix it, and helping us to talk about and understand the issue better, Mike Long of Resource 100, Brian Rowe of The Ohio State University. As we start to wrap things up here, we've talked about some 30,000-foot things that communities can do, the federal government can do. Mike, maybe start with you. What can we as individuals do? We talked about the fact, would you say, Brian, $400 a head?
$500
for each family member on average in wasted food. So that's a couple grand in a family of four. What are some things we can do at home that saves us and helps this food waste problem?
Well, I think this fits into the bigger issue of reducing waste. I mean, this is part of what's going to the landfill. So that reduce, reuse, recycling ethic that we've learned, for the last 20 years, applies to the food waste. And what we've seen is that the food waste issue is coming to the forefront because it is such a big part of the waste stream, and it has economic consequences, health consequences, and environmental consequences. So, again, it comes back to learn about what's going on in your community. The solid waste districts are excellent things that individuals can actually have a relationship with. They are a local government institution. They're not the county. They're not the city. They have experts on this subject. And I would urge your listeners to learn more about SWACO and the other 51 in the state of Ohio, because they have terrific educational programs. They have grant programs. And it's a real opportunity for people to learn about this problem.
So we need to become more aware and more concerned. Got some practical ideas, Brian, on steps that people can take? It might just begin with making sure you've got a good grocery list.
Definitely. A lot of this is just going back to Home Ec 101, home economics, thinking about planning the meals, buying the appropriate size. When you get it home, take the time to wash and dry, specifically dry that produce so it doesn't mold. Chop it up, slice it, put it in a nice clear container so you can use it. Becoming friends with your leftovers, having a shelf set aside in your fridge where you put things that need to be used quickly or else that expiration date might go bad. All of that can help reclaim some of that $500 per person per year that's going in to the garbage can. And then for that waste that you are going to inevitably create, think about some home composting if that's something that you can do in your own space. You can use it in your garden or give it to a neighborhood school for their garden. Lots of opportunities there.
I suppose Ohio State Extension has some how-tos on composting up on its website.
There's a lot of good resources out there. And there's available, Ohio EPA has some excellent information about composting. Nationally, there's this great new website out called Further with Food that's put together with some money from the Carnegie Foundation. US EPA and USDA, and we've got our own website at OSU for the Food Waste Collaborative that's got information about what's going on in Ohio about food waste.
Mike, you mentioned the solid waste districts. I guess just Google them and you'll find the ones around Ohio?
Absolutely. You can go to the EPA, Ohio EPA, and they have every website for each of the solid waste districts.
And on the outside chance that there might be a business or a local government that is interested in maybe tapping into some of your expertise, what's your website?
Well, you won't find much information on my website. Like I said, I'm semi-retired, but if you go to resource100.com, you'll find me.
And maybe all we need is your phone number.
Yeah, phone number.
So as we wrap this up, Brian, how hopeful are you that the more we talk about this, the more we're going to fix the problem?
I am quite hopeful. It's a great opportunity. There's money to be had by individuals. There's hunger to be reduced for society. There are resources to be conserved all up and down the supply chain. And there's environmental benefits to be had. There's so many good motivations to do this. I think it'll happen.
Think we're going to get there?
I absolutely do, for the reasons Brian just stated. I mean, the money's a big driver on all of this. And we're wasting it. And so let's put it to use for our community and our globe.
Very well said. Gentlemen, thank you both for being here. Mike Long of Resource 100, Brian Rowe of the College of Food, Agricultural, and Environmental Sciences at The Ohio State University, helping us look at the problem of food waste in America and what we as individuals can do about it. Thanks to all of you, too, for tuning us in this week on Town Hall, Ohio.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall Ohio.